Start a conversation about prescription drug prices and just watch the eyes begin to roll. Prescription drugs can be very expensive, especially when you don't have insurance coverage to help bear the costs. And drugs can increase in price suddenly. The state of Oregon recently opened up its prescription drug price transparency program, but there are additional bills on drug prices in the works in the state legislature now. One, House Bill 2658, would require a 60-day notice of price hikes from drug companies. That passed the House easily last week. Let's get up to date on that and the other bills in the legislature. Three guests with us. Representative Andrea Salinas is the chair of the House Healthcare Committee and the chief sponsor of 2658. Representative Salinas, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. Representative Kim Wallen is with us as well from Medford, new to the legislature, signed on as a sponsor to 2658. Representative Wallen, good to have you back.
Good morning.
And Mark Griffith is with us as well. He is the president of the Oregon Coalition for Affordable Prescriptions, or OCAP. Welcome, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
Lay us out, if you would, for us. Lay out for us the Oregon Coalition for Affordable Prescriptions. It sounds like it's pretty straightforward. You're trying to get drug prices at least to hold the line, if not decrease.
OCAP, for short, is this coalition of unlikely allies. Kind of everybody in healthcare, ranging from consumer advocates like myself to health benefit carriers, hospital networks, nurses, and so on. And it's really this really widespread group of allies coming together to say, it's like, hey, this drug price problem is really, really bad, and we need to take concrete steps to actually do something about that. So we've been working on legislation that we think will actually have a concrete effect on the list price of drugs that's being set by manufacturers, hopefully bring that down some. We supported the transparency bill last year, and we're hoping that some of this ambitious legislation will go through this year as well.
That was my next question, was about the transparency bill, because we just got up to speed on the prescription drug price transparency program, just activated within the last few weeks. OCAP did play a role in that then, you're saying?
Yes, we've changed our branding since then, but we were one of the major groups that was pushing for passage of that bill.
Was price transparency then, Mark, always seen as one of several steps?
We've always viewed price transparency as kind of being a first step. That one of the big problems with drug prices is that it's very complicated. There's a lot of different players in the supply chain, and it's really kind of hard to see what the things are that are driving prices up. So we really viewed the sort of transparency bill as, let's take a look at the black box, try and get an idea of what is actually going on and what's driving these high prices. And then that gives us the opportunity in this year and future sessions to really say, hey, here's some things that we can do to change these things now that we know what the problems are and actually bring prices down.
So let's get up to speed on the bills that are extant in the legislature now. Representative Andrea Salinas, are the various House bills on drug prices pretty much as envisioned by OCAP?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, the one you mentioned in the beginning, HB 2658, that requires pharmaceutical manufacturers to provide a 60-day notice when their prices are going to increase, was actually a provision that was incorporated into House Bill 4005 last year, back in 2018, and it got removed given that the chances of HB 4005 failing would have, I think, been higher if we had left that piece in there. So we took another stab at it this legislative session, and we were able to move it in the House with really good support. As you mentioned, I think we only had about 6 no votes, so it was great. I mean, I think this is an issue that it doesn't really see any kind of partisan lines. Everybody from, you know, businesses to everyday people taking medications, parents, everyone really feels the impact of high prescription drug prices. So, yeah, so that was one of them. And then I think OCAP had also, with Representative Rob Nose, had tried to put forward, and they did, a few bills that would have been a little bit more creative in terms of how Oregon purchases our drugs, and whether that's through, right now we purchase through, it's called the Oregon Prescription Drug Program, and we purchase through a consortium with Washington. It's the Northwest Prescription Drug Consortium. And so that helps for us to lower drug prices for some, but it's not such a big pool that I think we have a lot of leverage. So Representative Nose was interested in seeing what would happen if we can perhaps bulk purchase with California or maybe Canada. And then he had a third bill that actually would allow reimportation from Canada. So as you probably know, drugs are frequently manufactured here in the U.S., and then they're distributed worldwide, and Canada is one of the places where prescription drugs are certainly lower than here, and so then we would be able to buy them back from Canada. There are a lot of steps between that actually being implemented and right now, so, but they're all just creative ideas to figure out how we can bring the cost of drugs down.
All right, but it sounds like it does require the flock of bills you've got, because you're trying to deal with a bunch of different aspects of prescription drugs and how they're bought and how much they cost.
That's right. And as Mark had mentioned, you know, the supply chain within the pharmaceutical industry from the, you know, inception of R&D to the time we actually get it, you know, at our pharmacy counter is really complex. And so the legislature has been looking at other aspects as well. You know, there's a lot of finger pointing that goes on. And we know that pharmaceutical benefit managers are a player in this. Insurers are a player in this. And so everybody kind of has a piece of this where they have a potential to make profit. But I think Representative Wallen said it best, I thought, on the floor in her statement when she really said this isn't, and I'll just, I hate to summarize, but she basically said what I've been saying for a while, is that this isn't a functioning marketplace. And so we can't use kind of the normal tools that we've always been able to use to try to influence the market when it comes to like consumers being able to say, okay, this is just a supply and demand issue. It's beyond that. And I think the pharmaceutical companies have an unfair advantage at this point. But because of the complexity of the supply chain, we have to, it's up to legislatures around the nation to start untangling it and really trying to bring relief to consumers.
Prescription drug price legislation, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. Representative Andrea Salinas chairs the Health Committee in the Oregon House. We also have with us Representative Kim Wallen from Medford, who sponsored one of the bills or joined on as a sponsor. OCAP President Mark Griffith, OCAP being the Oregon Coalition for Affordable Prescriptions. Mark is with us as well. You can join us with your questions and comments, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Representative Wallen, let's talk about the drug market. What do you see as some of the issues with it?
Hi, good morning. Well, it is heavily regulated. That's part of the problem. And some of those regulations have come with some great benefits to the pharmaceutical manufacturers. So it is a very skewed market. And ironically, I'm a very small government, low regulation advocate. And this is the opposite of that, stepping in and sponsoring legislation that would further control prices or attempt to get a handle on prices. But I think that's what happens when you are asking for favors from the government on one hand and then expecting not to get more regulations. I don't think we should accommodate that. So I would love to see less regulation, clarification of the complex supply lines. I don't think that we've done anything to improve the situation by adding more layers of complication, but to send a signal to the manufacturers that they need to try to untangle themselves from all of the layers of sending it to other countries. We subsidize those drugs to other companies at the expense of the people in this country, and that needs to stop. We need to get clearer lines of distribution of these drugs to people.
So essentially the pharmaceutical companies, you're saying, have sought government protection for what they do and have not wanted the regulation at the same time.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Precisely. You said it much better.
So what do you see in these bills moving forward? We have several in front of us. We talked about the 60-day notice of intent to raise prices. House Bill 2961 requires the manufacturer to disclose in any advertisement for prescription drug wholesale price in Oregon a prescription drug. House Bill 2689, what we talked about with wholesale drugs potentially imported from Canada. And then Senate Bill 409, directing the State Board of Pharmacy to study the feasibility of implementing and develop a plan to implement wholesale importation of prescription drugs into Oregon, similar, I guess, to 2689. Are you on board with the whole package, Representative Wallen?
I am. The one that would require the price to be advertised has been, we've given up working on that one this year. There were some concerns about some constitutional issues. I'm an attorney, and I did not share those those concerns, but that's what lawyers do. They disagree with each other on these matters. So so we are not going to pursue that one this session, but the other ones, yes, I'm on board. Truly, I have personally seen in my own life, because I have children who are dependent on some of these drugs, the price has literally been cut in half, and we haven't even passed the legislation yet. Insulin and albuterol both are now half the price they were even 2 months ago.
Wow. That's just, you think, in response to the fact that legislation is making its way through?
I do think that. I think a combination of outcry from the public and some pretty bad press, and also this threats of and legislation like this in other states. Things have to change. When something can't go on, it won't. And $300 for a bottle of insulin is a price point that can't go on. So things are going to have to change.
All right. I appreciate the update on House Bill 2961. I noticed it only got a hearing. I kind of figured it was on a slow move, and it sounds like it's in the deep freeze. Mark Griffith at OCAP, Oregon Coalition for Affordable Prescriptions. Are there larger steps you might have wanted to take? Have you had to scale back OCAP's ambitions a bit for political realities?
There's ideas that we've considered that we ultimately decided not to move forward with this year. Some ideas related to actually trying to require, a specific reimbursement rate for drugs, having a panel of experts look at all the different sort of price factors. Now that we have that information through the Drug Price Transparency Program, let's have some experts look at that and try and determine what an appropriate price is for these drugs that reflects the value of the treatment, but still remains affordable for the consumers. Maryland actually just passed the first bill in the nation that would do that, which would have state-level rate setting for prescription drugs, and that could be something that would be considered in future sessions, but was considered too ambitious to move on this year.
So, Representative Andrea Salinas, as you look at this package, the bills address information about drugs and the potential to bring in drugs from outside the United States, but no actual controls on prices themselves. Is that purely the domain of Congress?
Well, I mean, I think it is partially, but we also, as Oregon and a state of the United States, I think that consumers are really used to kind of this idea around capitalism, right, and how the market should function appropriately. And I would like to see us get back to a place where the market is functioning correctly. Right now, we can't even negotiate as a bulk purchaser of Medicare prescription drug prices. That was prohibited at the federal level. And I think that inflates the prices of drugs all around. And as Representative Wallen said, a lot of these drugs are exported to other countries, but other countries actually do have price controls on their prescription drugs. Therefore, we are subsidizing these other countries for those same prices. And I believe the legislature, this was before I got here, had looked at a bill that would actually look at the top five developing countries and what those drug prices were, and then compare them to what Oregon is paying. So we could do, and that would be considered a type of price control when you do some kind of comparison like that. I think it is up to attorneys to figure out if that is actually price controls. But yeah, you can't necessarily regulate prices in one state and hope to continue the supply. So I would be a little bit fearful of that, but I also think that we need to start thinking about things more globally, because these are not just U.S. manufacturers that just stay within our U.S. borders. We're talking about a worldwide supply chain that is affected by prices all over the world.
Representative Kim Wallen, when we were talking about the market for drugs, is it unusual? I mean, it's not like, you're going shopping for certain kinds of groceries and you'll go to a different store if you can find a different price. I mean, in that sense, are there things that could be done either at the state or federal level, you think, to deregulate the market in such a way so it would function more like the other markets where things are price sensitive?
I think that the problem with them going to other countries at fixed prices is precisely the problem that keeps our market from being freer. And also some of the barriers to entry for new companies to come on board who could create these same drugs at different prices. I think that some of that protection that I was talking about earlier that the government gives to these companies that they have sought is, in fact, some of the barriers to entry to other people getting into the market, the supply market. And so can we regulate our way out of overregulation? I don't know, but we're going to find out.
Okay. That's an interesting approach that we end up with here. So again, Representative Wallen, you haven't been in the legislature very long. So this is a big vote, 48 in favor, 9 against on House Bill 2658, the 60-day notice of intent to raise prices. Your thoughts on being part of the passage of the bill?
Well, I was told by several of my fellow Republicans that my comments changed their minds and they voted yes. My comments on the floor. So I think they see that we are going, it does need to be unwound. And I think this is true on many other issues besides just this one. The state and federal governments and the way they behave clashes and causes problems for real people on the ground. I mean, in Southern Oregon, I see the same thing happening with the way the Forest Service manages our forests. And then people in the state are suffering from that practices. So I think there's going to be some real federalism questions. Who gets to control? Does the federal government control or does the state governments control? And I see those clashes coming in a lot of different ways. And I think my fellow Republicans are willing to sort of start taking on that question.
Prescription drug prices, the topic here. Resetting with the audience that we're talking about prescription drug prices with Representative Kim Wallen of Medford, Representative Andrea Salinas, who chairs the Health Care Committee in the House, and the President, Mark Griffith, of the Oregon Coalition for Affordable Prescriptions. Mark, obviously you focus on Oregon. Is OCAP allied with similar groups to push for changes on the national scene as well as in the state legislatures?
Well, we've been in communication with advocates all over the country, and we really try and keep an open conversation with people in both red and blue states who are working on this issue. Every state in the nation has introduced some form of legislation related to prescription drug pricing this year. So there's clearly a lot of energy behind it. And we're really trying to be engaged and we're watching what's working in other states, what's been able to move forward and what's been able to make a difference. Like I mentioned before, that Maryland's actually passed a rate setting bill this year. We'll see if the legal challenges actually allow that to go forward. One of the ideas that we're considering is sort of wholesale importation of drugs is an idea that's gotten traction in a lot of different places. It was considered in states as red as West Virginia. It's moving forward in Florida. It's moving forward in Utah and Colorado. And we think that that's something that really says, hey, there's momentum behind this. And because there's diverse states that are interested in moving this forward, that says, hey, maybe we can get approval from the current administration to go forward and implement this sort of program in Oregon as well. So, yes, we have been keeping an eye on things nationally as well as working on our specific projects here.
You mentioned the legal challenges probably coming for the Maryland law, which is never a surprise. I mean, given how much money is at stake here, we can pretty much assume that huge piles of it are spent on trying to defeat drug price legislation, can't we?
Yes, absolutely. I think from what we've seen from pharma is that they're going to sue over any law that we pass, regardless of the merits. So I don't think the fact that there's a lawsuit against the Maryland law in particular or any other of these drug pricing laws, California passed a very similar transparency law in 2017, and they actually had a lawsuit that came and was dismissed very, very quickly. So I really think that just because there's these lawsuits coming from pharma doesn't mean there's any merit to the arguments that they're making, and that there is this real, the judges can see that, hey, this is making a difference, this is important, and that it's these laws have been carefully crafted so they do fit within the letter of constitutional law and will be able to go forward.
So, Representative Salinas, I see that the bill on importing prescription drugs from Canada passed your committee, the Health Committee, and then went to Ways and Means. Do bills sometimes go to two committees because the second one's going to kill it?
Yes, they do, to answer your question. This one did not go to Ways and Means just to kill it, though. The bills that dealt with bulk purchasing to California and Canada and also the drug importation from Canada, those all would require some agency resources, so revenue essentially, and so we'd have to budget for what that looks like. So that's why that goes to Ways and Means, to figure out what the budget is and can we afford it before we start trying to implement the bill. So I would suspect that one or two of those bills could end up passing ultimately through Ways and Means Committee, but we're in, as you probably know, tight budget time. So if we don't have the money for it to do the work at the agency level, they're not going to pass.
Have you or will you testify before Ways and Means about the idea of prescription drugs from Canada?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if they so choose to move it and they can find money in the budget, they'll hear it and then try to move it. And yeah, I would, I'd be happy to testify, and I'm sure the lead representative, Representative Nose, would also want to testify on this.
All right. But do I hear you saying don't hold your breath because of the budgetary situation in Oregon?
It's tough to tell right now. I think we have to wait until the May forecast to see what our revenue brings in.
All right. That is the next thing we're waiting for, is to find out what the anticipated revenue is for the state of Oregon for the next biennium, starting July 1st and running until the middle of 2021. So a lot left to do in the Oregon legislature. We'll see what happens with the movement of these prescription drug bills. Andrea Salinas is the chair of the House Healthcare Committee. She is the chief sponsor of 2658, which passed last week, the 60-day notice of intent to raise prices. Representative Kim Wallen from Medford is in her first term in the legislature and signed on as a sponsor of that bill. And Mark Griffith is the president of OCAP, the Oregon Coalition for Affordable Prescriptions. Thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right, take care.